We begin today because, see, if the other side hadn't been so fixated on shutting down the government and threatening the credit rating of the American people, they would have been spending the last 21 days wondering, how come your health care reform ain't working the way it's supposed to? But Joe Donnelly, our United States Senator, he's been cussing the people out in Washington and expressing the same anger that the president showed yesterday, which he should have showed 6 or 7 months ago. Anyway, Joe Donnelly is back home in Indiana, having been rescued from the government shutdown and all the mess in Washington. And he was part of the group of senators led by female members of the Senate who were trying to bring both sides together. Joe Donnelly joins me live. You can get in touch with the conversation with the senator at 239-1310 239-1310, or send me an email at praiseindia.com or text message at 85620, keyword Amos. Senator, how you doing?
Thank you so much for having me with you today.
I think a lot of people were surprised at the strength of the vote in the Senate to let's stop the madness, let's move forward.
Right.
I think people were thinking, okay, there's 50-some-odd Democrats, so maybe they'll get to 60, it'll be 60-40, but 82-18, I believe, is the final vote. And a lot of Republicans came on board. And I know you were part of the group, and I know it was led by the female members of the Senate.
Susan Collins.
Susan Collins, Republican. Right. It was Kelly Ayotte,
Kelly
who's
Ayotte
conservative
of New Hampshire.
Yep. She was working along with Democratic women. Was it Ms. Cantwell, Senator Cantwell out of Washington?
It was a number of Jean Shaheen of New Hampshire was very important, too. And so we had a lot of people chipping in, and it was a great group. It was 7 Republicans, 6 Democrats, and 1 independent, Angus King of Maine. Mm-hmm. And I had a very strong feeling that when we finally would get a vote, the vote would be in the neighborhood of 70 to 80 votes, because we worked so well together. Mm-hmm. We agreed on so much, and we helped to put a framework together that was finally what the agreement to open the government back up reflected. And we knew then, because of our meetings with our Republican colleagues and friends, and they said, look, this is not going to be just a couple of votes from us. This is going to be a significant majority of our caucus.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, there was a lot of tension on the House side. Was there a lot of tension on the Senate side? Or was it, hey, this one kind of guy, he's kind of like here on right field, and we really want to move forward. And, hey, Doc, we just let us take about business. If you want to just run around the country and raise money, that's your business, too.
Right. That's pretty much what it was there was a significant agreement among an overwhelming majority of senators. Let's get this done. Let's take care of this business. Let's get the government open again. We're talking, Amos, about things like the National Institute for Health, where they are the leading cancer researcher in the world on diabetes. They are working on a cure for diabetes right now, and all of these people were furloughed, or a very significant number of them were furloughed. You look at our national security agencies who are charged with keeping us safe, a number of them were furloughed. It wasn't talked about much because we didn't want to talk too much about that. But this was significant impact across the board, and as you indicated, one of the members was causing so much of the difficulties, the feeling among almost everyone in the Senate was, look, do whatever you want to do publicity-wise or attention-wise or money-raising-wise, but let us do our work.
Mm-hmm. 239-1310, 239-1310, this afternoon's name. So let me start today with Flex. Hi, Flex.
Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
I'm fine.
Yes, I just have 2 questions. The first question is in reference to Senator Dan Coats. I understand that he hasn't been on your program since he's been a senator, correct?
That's correct.
And I was wondering, the second question is, does Senator Donnelly, does he have a working relationship with Senator Coates?
That's a great question.
I'll answer first. I have a very good working relationship with Senator Coates. We work on a number of issues together, and I have been fortunate enough to be in a position where the things we work on, politics really never comes up. It is, how can we help Hoosier families? How can we help Hoosier businesses? And so it's been a good relationship between us.
Flex?
That's your answer.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Thank
All
you,
right,
sir.
Thank you, Flex. 239-1310. 239-1310 is the afternoon's name. Somebody here at the radio station was saying, you heard that you were coming in. He said, well, if you see the senator, ask him this question. And this is one of our analytical employees, and he analyzed how many days was the shutdown, versus how many days there were in the year. And he figured out that that was 4% of the year. So he said, ask Senator Donnelly, if the government wasn't working for 4% of the time, am I going to get a 4% rebate back on my income tax?
Well,
see, that sounds like something Hoosiers would come up with.
The answer is that the work that needed to be done is still being done, and that the National Security Agency doesn't stop, and that those individuals were paid, were given back pay once it was squared away. And so our job is to try to make sure that the functions of government are done in a competent, effective way, that we have the smallest government possible but the most effective government possible. And that's what we're trying to do every day.
All right. So now this is the 22nd day of October. The Affordable Care Act and the exchanges have been in force for 22 days. 4 days after it started, we actually sat here with my Friday friend, who actually was trying to get on the website because he's, you know, self-employed. He's got 500 jobs. He's trying to single-handedly take care of all the unemployment himself. He couldn't get on the website. I got on, was able to register, and then the screen had the little thing, and I thought I was taking an I-STEP test again. The president said yesterday that these things are unacceptable. Let me ask you, how frustrated are you and other members of the Senate, particularly Democratic senators, over these problems with the Affordable Care Act?
We are beyond frustrated because the product provides affordable health care. And that's what so many Americans and so many Hoosiers want. And the least that ought to have been put in place was an effective, efficient computer program and system. I was actually on the phone yesterday with the White House Chief of Staff, Dennis McDonough, on this issue.
Tell me you read him the Hoosier Riot Act nicely.
You know, I kind of told him what everyone in Indiana thought, and he understood that. And I said, Dennis, I have one other question for you. I said, how can a campaign that had some of the most advanced computer systems in the world with some of the most amazing IT talent in the world, how can that campaign have done such a good job on IT? And then you go to the rollout of the Health Care Act, and it doesn't seem you can turn the computer on. I said, there was some translational error here, and if I have any suggestion to you, it is round up the crew that worked on the campaign and put them on this and get this thing fixed ASAP. I said, there are real-life consequences to this, and first and foremost is that people who should have health care, who are trying to get on, who are in a position maybe where they have had cancer in the past or diabetes or whatever, who have never been able to get insurance before, now have their chance. I said, and they can't get through. And do you know how frustrating that is?
Yeah.
And they do. I said, look, my advice to you, fix it. Fix it now.
Is there a reason why they led with the website and not with the phone number? Because I think the president in his remarks said that they've hired extra phone operators and the wait time is minimal.
Right.
But I think everybody was keyed, go to the website instead of the old-fashioned way we used to do things, call on the toll-free number.
I think it's because of the way we prioritize now. A lot of people go to the website on things and order online and do this online. And so and I think the president assumed that the people he had put in charge would get it done properly. And obviously they did not. And what's so frustrating, Amos, is, you know, when you are running a computer program or set up a computer system here at the station, the first time you do it isn't when you are going on the air.
No.
It is you do it in advance and you put in worst case scenarios. If you get 47 callers at one time, can it handle it?
Yeah.
And all of these things, they should have done stress tests. Mm-hmm. They should have done worst case scenarios. And it shouldn't have been turned on until they had that done.
One of the other things, and the thing that we've been frustrated to and haven't been able to share with the audience, is what are actually in the plans in the exchange for people like here in Indianapolis? In other words, what are the benefits? What do you get? What are the deductibles? The kinds of things that if you work for a living and you have your insurance open enrollment, you see those things before you make the commitment. Yes, I want to do the insurance. No, I do not through my company. And the frustration of, well, you can't find that information out until you register is ridiculous. We ought to be able to tell people in the Indianapolis Exchange, these are the companies, these are the plans, this is roughly what it's going to cost, but more importantly, this is what it's going to cover.
And it should have it right there on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Here is what we have. And you should be able to put in, look, here's what my present program has.
Right.
And be able to compare one against the other. It is ridiculous that you can go online and buy a book or buy a movie or buy a suit from a place. You can buy a suit here in Indianapolis today from a town in Venezuela, three mm-hmm. countries away.
Yeah.
And you can do that faster than trying to get online to get health care.
All right, enough of my questions. Let me go to the phones. And Don at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to the senator. I want to personally thank him. I'm a disabled vet. And about, say, 7 months ago, I wrote his office. And they responded to me quickly and wrote on my behalf, you know, just checking into my claim. And fortunate enough, you know, my claim came back favorably. So I just wanted to personally thank the senator for his quick response and his staff for looking into that situation for me and resolving my situation. I mean, they were just really quick in doing what they had to do. You know, you hear these stories about, you know, write your senators, write your congressmen, and sometimes you sort of feel like maybe that doesn't work, but in my case, it definitely worked. I want to personally thank the senator and his staff for such a fine job and such a quick response.
Well, thank you so much. And who I want to thank is you for serving our country, for stepping up, and for serving in our armed forces. We're grateful to you. We're thankful to you. And I'm the hired help. I was just doing my job, and my job is to make sure that your claim is heard, your claim is fairly adjudicated, and that we can make a decision on it and get it done with. And our staff, all of our team across both the Washington and the Indiana offices all know when a veteran calls, you better drop everything else, because for our men and women who have put their lives on the line, there's nothing we can do that would ever be too much.
Thank you, Senator.
I appreciate it. Let me go to Sean at 239-1310. Hi there.
Good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
Conley.
Hi, sir.
Hey, I just basically have a question. With the Affordable Cares Act, when they did the website and no one could get on and, you know, couldn't work it and all this stuff, I mean, it was like a huge breakdown. And like you said, it should have been basically tested, stress tested, blah, 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 before it got put out. Who knows if they did or didn't? Was that reported if they did or didn't?
It was reported that they did advanced testing. It was not reported, as far as I could see, as to the extent of the advanced testing, but they did advanced testing, and obviously not the kind of advanced testing that should have been done.
Right. So when I look at it, I mean, when you do a stress test, you already know what your numbers may be.
Right.
And you try to, and you go ahead and double it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I served on the Financial Services Committee for 6 years, and when we had that financial crisis in our country, one of the things we set up for all of the banks was looking forward. We did stress tests to say, are they going to be able to survive? And what is worst case scenario? And how much capital would they need to survive worst case scenario? And those stress tests were just like you said, whatever worst case is, then double it. We did that. And all of those banks that, you know, they were advice given as to you need to put this much capital in, you need to do this, you need to do that. And when it was followed, it all worked. We wish they had done that here.
Well, okay, another question.
Yeah.
Now, when these things go wrong, how many people are harmed, and in what way they might be harmed?
Well, I would say the people who have been harmed are every individual who tried to go online and easily navigate through a healthcare website and have the chance to get a policy at the present time, have a chance to get insurance right now, whether you are someone who has a pre-existing condition or a senior. But if you have gone on there and taken the time to spend time, you know, you'll have to go back at a future point, and we hopefully will have this up and running ASAP. But you should have been able to get it done first time around.
Now, with this outcome of the website being just a mess, basically, is it possible that it was somewhere, somehow or another, just putting it out there, that it was intentional?
As far as I can tell, it was not intentional. It was incompetence. So, you know, that's not funny,
That's the other. I mean, it is kind of funny in a way, because it's like when you look at it, you have supposed to be the smartest people,
right?
you know, put in place to do these things, and it just, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is not funny. It is especially painful to those people who have tried to get on and could not get through. And so what the president's white-hot attention on this is helpful. We are having what the president called a tech surge, which is trying to bring additional folks in to get it fixed as quickly as possible. And there's going to be a lot of folks who have the obligation to provide answers and who will be held accountable for this.
Well, and I know the Secretary of Health and Human Services, appreciate the call, Sean. Thank you. Great
Thank
questions.
You, sir.
That she's going to be appearing before a House committee. Is the same thing going to happen on the Senate side?
I'm sure it will. That we want answers as well as to, you know, the American people were told we would be up and ready to run.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of hard work, a lot of heartache that went into this. We have a goal of trying to make sure that every American has a chance to get decent insurance. And we have an oversight responsibility in the Senate and in the House mm-hmm. to make sure that things are handled properly. And so we have an obligation to find out answers.
239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoon's Amos. We're with Senator Joe Donnelly. Let me go back to the phones. And Lewis, hi there.
Hey, Amos, how you doing?
Fine, sir.
Senator.
Hey, Lewis, how are you?
You know, I just got a couple of comments, and I would like him to respond to it.
By the way, Lewis,
Republicans are always preaching this here small federal government, but yet they never back it up. Seem like they're the biggest users of the federal government. I thought if you don't like government, why would you want to be in charge of something? I don't like lima beans. I'm not going to put them on my dinner table, you know. And I just don't understand. They got lobbyists there. I would love someone to stand up and say, you know what? If they want a smaller government, let's get rid of any conservative that has federal contracts with the government. Let's get rid of any lobbyists. Don't lobby with them. Don't give them no contracts. And my other comment is, you know, all these here quotes, these here racist comments that's got lipstick on them toward the president. And I understand how politics works. You got to have your adversaries and you fight and then you go on. But all this here extra stuff that goes on now, all of a sudden that we have our first African-American president, it's bad enough that the Republicans are doing it, but what hurts me more than that is that the Democrats allow it to happen. It seems like we try to be nice to these people. You can't shake hands with people that's got knives in their hands. We don't want to put up a fight. If we were to say all this stuff is acceptable, I understand the Tea Party and the Republicans accepting it, but the Democrats accept it. If anybody was to say something negative against Benjamin Netanyahu right now, they would be called anti-Semite. But yet, when all this here stuff is said against our own president, the Democrats still come up with that saying, well, my friends on the other side. No, they're not your friends. You know, and why do Democrats put up with this all the time and don't speak up? And I think that's why some of the support for the Democratic Party is going down because even though we support you guys are on the Democratic side, you will lose support if you don't feel like you got a spine to stand up to these people. These people want to go back to the 18th century, 19th century way of thinking.
All right, let me let the senator respond.
Thank you, Lewis. And I do want to mention right up front, I'm a huge Notre Dame football fan, and our All-American nose tackle's name is Lewis, and he's called Big Lou. So I want to also tell you, sir, that this government shutdown that was caused by the Tea Party folk and the Tea Party elements, the president and the House and the Senate stood together. There was no effort to separate one from the other in any way, shape, or form. And in regards to the Affordable Care Act and the fixes that need to be done to it, the president has actually been the one leading the charge on this. If you saw the press conference from the White House yesterday, and so he wants to get this fixed better than or as much as anyone, because this also affects his legacy and his reputation. And so our goal is to try to enhance that reputation by having an Affordable Care Act that works well, that services the people of this country, and that provides the best health care that we may have ever had. And we're in that position to have that opportunity because we worked together with the president to pass the Affordable Care Act.
I appreciate the call. We're Senator Joe Donnelly. Back to the phones in Terry. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. What's up?
My question is to the senator, when is the House and the Senate going to get themselves together and quit letting former senators and House members leave from office and join lobbyist groups and then stick it to the public?
That's a great question.
Well, there are ethics rules in place that once you leave either the House or the Senate, there is X number of years that you are not permitted to contact your former colleagues in regards to any particular issue.
So how does Jim DeMint, former senator from South Carolina, he retires, goes over to some think tank in Washington and running around the country, was talking about shutting this down, doing that. And so does that mean he can't come into the Capitol, into your office, into the little cloakrooms where you're allowed and lobby?
For a certain amount of time, he cannot.
But he just, so he, but he
if
said,
he's a registered lobbyist.
Okay, but he can send his boys and girls to do that in the fancy suits.
That would be correct. Yeah, he can send, there can be, for instance, he is with the Heritage Foundation, mm-hmm. which is a conservative think tank and advocacy organization, and actually fought very, very hard to keep the government shut down. Mm-hmm. Unbelievably, mm-hmm. he worked to keep the government shut down and worked actively to destroy the Health Care Act. He can have people from the Heritage Foundation come over and come to the Capitol, although I have to tell you they do not come to my office.
But here's the other thing. He's a former senator, and he has the privilege to come in the building and eat in the cafeteria. That's one of the privileges of former senator.
If you are a lobbyist, you cannot.
Okay, so it's but if he's not registered as a lobbyist, he could come in and you don't know what he's saying to somebody. You know, he could be talking about, you know, the RG3 and the Washington Redskins, and he could also be saying, you need to vote that farm bill down and cut those food stamps.
Then he would
out.
Be in violation of the rules of the Senate.
And somebody needs a tape recorder in the Senate dining room. 239.
You'd probably hear more about the how are the hamburgers than anything else.
Speaking of the farm bill, the food stamp and benefiting people and benefiting small farmers, not big corporate. Where are we with this farm bill thing?
The farm bill is still not gone to conference yet, or is just about to. And as you know, we passed a again, think of this, Amos. We passed a farm bill in the United States Senate with, I think it was 69 votes. Mm-hmm. So you got a ton of Republicans, a ton of Democrats, it's completely bipartisan.
Did it save the food stamp program?
It saved most. It saved the food stamp program in all the areas where it was critical to do so. It had a reduction of $4 billion in it. But those $4 billion were not in any way, shape, or form affecting feeding our children or families or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And then the House, on a strict party line, partisan agenda, put forward $40 billion in food stamp SNAP cuts, nutrition program cuts. So now they have to put a conference committee together to come up with a farm bill that actually has a number of nutrition program reductions that can make sense and that will not affect the ability to feed our families or feed our children.
And didn't the House bill increase subsidies and welfare to corporate farmers, not small individual like Indiana farmers, but big, large?
There is a significant amount in there for that. Yes.
239-1310. Back to the phones. And Greg, hi there.
How you doing today, gentlemen? How you doing today, Senator?
Good, Greg. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I want to say something, a couple things. First,
By the way, Greg, wasn't that an awesome win by the Colts the other night?
Oh, yeah. That was tough. I'm glad. Sad Reggie Wayne got hurt. But,
yeah,
you know,
me too.
I want to mention, you know, I've been watching TV last night, and they had their Tea Party people on there, and they're talking about they're going to get all the Republicans that work with the Democrats. They're going to get them out, you know, a whole bit. I mean,
can you imagine a world where, for trying to do a good job, for trying to help your nation, for trying to work together for better policies, your reward by these groups is to get primaried and to be attacked. It makes no sense at all. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
I call it bullying. I thought we had laws in our country now about people bullying, and that's what they're doing. They're trying to bully people around.
They bully them with
a bully law.
And they don't even try to hide it. They bully them with threats. They bully them by trying to harass them and embarrass them. And your reward for trying to do a good job, play it down the middle, do what's right for the country, is to be attacked by these groups.
Yep, and, you know, like I said, you know, we got a lot of issues still. We got the immigration thing. How's that coming along about getting immigration reform or getting, you know, some of the things Obama wants done in that area?
Well, again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but we passed a terrific immigration bill in the Senate that had, again, an overwhelming bipartisan majority, Republicans and Democrats. And we sent it over to the House, and it is stuck there right now. And I don't expect that it will be passed in any way this year, and it will come back in front of the House next year, and I'm not quite sure how they're going to handle that.
Speaking of the Senate, everybody had beaten you guys up that the Senate hadn't approved a budget. Did y'all approve a budget this year?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We approved a budget months and months and months ago. And, again, Senator Cruz refused to, an individual said, we had to have what's called unanimous consent to go to conference,
right,
which is a routine thing. It's like saying, Amos, can I go out and get a sandwich at the corner here and bring you back a cup of coffee in the process? And you go, sure.
Yeah.
So it's a routine thing. And Senator Cruz refused to allow us to go to budget conference.
After you passed the budget.
After being yelled at, why don't you pass a budget? So we then passed the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we did, they said, well, we're not going to let you go to conference. So it was kind of it shows that it was all a game at first. And here's the thing. You know, with the shutdown that we experienced, with the challenges that we faced, it damaged our economy, Amos, to the tune of $24 billion. And every day we spent trying to alleviate the shutdown was a day we didn't spend on creating more jobs in Indianapolis, a day we didn't spend on creating better educational systems in Indianapolis. And that was the damage to the country.
The national unemployment rate for September, the announcement was delayed 22 days because of the shutdown. 7.2% nationally, down a bit, lowest that it's been in a long time. African American down 12.9%. It's kind of stable, kind of flat. But then we don't know what happened in October.
Right.
And we won't know till the middle of November what that is. But Indiana's unemployment and Indianapolis's unemployment is still higher than the national average. What are you hearing in terms of job creation? Because the other side is talking about we've lowered all these taxes here in Indiana. We're a right-to-work state. And everybody said, the jobs are going to come in. And we still have this naggingly high unemployment rate, even with Elkhart coming back. Kokomo has come back, and so there are other areas of the state that are doing well. But this area seems to be stagnant. I think some other parts of the state are.
I will tell you this, that in my time in the House of Representatives and in the United States Senate, we have a lot of businesses come in. We have a lot of trade groups come in, industry associations come in. Not one time did any of the groups ever say the key to our moving to Indiana or locating Indiana or expanding in Indiana, the key is right to work. They never said that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they said every single time? Just what you were talking about at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Science, technology, engineering, mathematics education. Educated, talented workforce gives us every chance to create more jobs, more opportunity. And any person who's listening who doesn't take advantage of the chance to get additional education, additional skills, this is about skills. We have jobs waiting all over our state for skilled people to step up. And I urge you, I plead with you, get your skills level as high as you can possibly get, and you will have more than one company looking to hire you for your job.
Let me go to Karen at 239-1310. Hi, Karen.
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
I am a federal employee, and I have been for the last 15 years.
Thank you for your service, Karen.
Thank you. And my question is to you, Senator Donnelly. I do not make anywhere near $140,000. I make enough to get by, but we have not had a raise in the last 3 years. We get a lot of flack because, when things are to take things off of other things, they always bring it back to federal pay and so on and so forth. I am the sole breadwinner in my family. My health insurance continues to go up. Taxes continue to go up. Yet I don't have a raise. More and more of my money is going to pay my taxes and to pay the health insurance. I thank God every day that I do have a job during the shutdown. I thank the Lord that I am going to get retroactive pay. But I don't feel like our voices being heard as federal employees. You know, when someone comes into Social Security, we're there for the individual. When someone comes into Internal Revenue Service, we may not agree with paying taxes, but I do like riding or driving on roads that are not bumpy. I like the fact that, you know, I get all of the services from Internal Revenue Service that my taxes go towards, so I can't really complain about Internal Revenue Service. But my question, I guess, is to say, Senator Donnelly, what is your stance on giving us a raise? We've gone, like I said, 3 years without a raise. What are you for getting federal employees raises?
Well, I will check. I think there was an indicator about President Obama was taking a look at that right. at a possible increase. And so I know he's taking a look at that right now. And what I want everybody to know is what a service you provide to the people of the state. As you said, when there's a Social Security problem, you are the backbone that provides it. When there's a veteran who goes into a hospital, that's a federal employee who helps work with them. When a veteran comes in for a disability, that's a federal employee who works on a disability claim. So the president is actually taking a look at that right now. As you indicated, there has not been a raise in a number of years. Part of that is that federal employees federal employees are our neighbors. Our neighbors could be an FBI agent. Our neighbor could be a TSA person. Our neighbor could be working at the Social Security office. And we have federal people who are a part and parcel, part of the fabric of our community. So I will tell you that the president is looking at that, and I will let you know what the plan is moving forward. I'll try to get it to Amos.
I appreciate that, Karen. Right. Is it fair to say that with the exception of the policymakers, with the exception of members of Congress, that most federal employees are the middle class or the working class in terms of income? The bulk of federal employees are not making more than $100,000 a year.
It is middle class, working class. Putting their shoulder to the wheel, working hard every day to try to make our country run.
Is that something that the Democratic Party, both in the House and the Senate, should look at and advocate a modest raise for federal workers, if for no other reason, as a thank you for being on the job? I know there's a story in the Washington Post this morning about the morale of federal workers. Obviously, they interview people in the Washington area, but I think in listening to Karen's call, that it would seem to me if you've gone through a rough time, the best thing that management can do is say, thank you for your service, and we're putting in a 2 or 3% raise for everybody across the board.
What's a disservice, too, is these groups that attack federal employees and are more than happy to then go to the airport and want to make sure that their plane is safe, mm-hmm. that they can get to their destination safely, and there's nobody on the plane who doesn't have who has inappropriate stuff.
And who got mad when barricades had to be put around national monuments, not so much to keep people out, but to keep the vandals or the bad guy or the boogeyman from coming in there and blowing it up or defacing it.
Could be because there would be nobody there to protect it.
You That's got time? Yeah, we got
one more call.
One more caller. Mark, you're the last caller with Senator Joe Donnelly.
Hey, Senator. And,
hey, Mark.
I'm a disabled veteran from the Gulf Coast area, and we have a lot of benefits because of President Obama that we didn't have when I got out of the Gulf War. But at the same time, a lot of these so-called non-for-profit agencies get a lot of these grants to help us veterans, but it doesn't seem like the money is really coming to the veterans in the way that it should. I know places like HVAC and places like HIP, they get a lot of money to help veterans, but when we go down, we seem like we got to go to a lot of red tape or we are sent on a goose chase doing things that's not, and we end up in the same situation that we started out in. And I was wondering, how can that be said, or how can that be looked into, or how can y'all change that where the money is really getting to the veterans like it should be?
Sure. If you have any particular concerns or groups, just give us a call at our congressional office here in Indianapolis, and we'll be more than happy to check into that and give you a full rundown of how each dollar is spent. And if there's a dollar that isn't being spent wisely, We will go full bore to make sure that that it either is spent wisely or that they won't receive funds anymore.
And the number, here's the test. The number of the Indianapolis office is it 2-6?
317-226-5555.
All right, Mark?
All right,
the number is 226-5555, and that's a real popular number because that was the office number when Senator Lugar had the office. And they kept the number.
That's a pretty good tradition to follow.
That's a good tradition to follow. All right, Mark, thank you. Senator Joe Donnelly, thank you very, very much.
Thank you. It's an honor, and to all the listeners, thank you so much for the chance to work in this job.
If we don't see you before the end of the year, happy Thanksgiving. Oh, we will. See? Oh, when you see Senator Coates, since y'all together.
Yeah.
You tell him, see, his staff doesn't know that when he was in the Senate the first time, we worked together and he would come
Dan
on and
do
it. Dan
would love to be on the show.
The staff is the problem. They don't know.
You know what? I'll talk to Dan because the fact of the matter is this. On this show, you get a fair shake. Yeah. It's the way it works.
Yeah. Tell the staff to chill out. And we look forward to seeing you again. Senator Coates.
Let me tell you, Dan would love to be on the show and try to provide help to listeners and have the opportunity.
And that's the Senator Coates I remember from his first stint.
Yep.
Joe Donnelly, thank you very much for being with us.